Blog Talk Radio.
Afternoon. This is Consciousness Shift with Nicole Tomasini and myself, Gwen Berry. And Nick, are you there?
Yeah.
I have to tell you, we're playing a game with Skype from my end. It's not adding my co-host for me, so we'll get that problem sorted out this coming week. I'm sorry about that, Nick.
Okay, I need to look for my headphones, so I'm popping myself back down. Here we go.
And I have a little confession to make. I did not prepare a specific topic for this show, and I think the most important thing we can talk about right now is probably the journey towards light, because gosh knows there's plenty of darkness around us right now. And so, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, the astrology report was kind of a sobering time these couple days. And there's like, I don't know, a few planets making some sort of square, and it's like kind of, can be kind of heavy.
Yeah. Well, you know what I'm convinced that basically, since industrialization began to really flood humanity, we've gone into a dark age. And we're at the edge of that dark age, coming into new light, which is a very difficult transition, and that's where we're at, make it or break it time. So,
yeah. And finding our own light. Like, I find that's the only way to... No matter what the planets are doing or whatever, it's really, I've said it, and we'll say it again, it's about the relaxing into it, and then you can fly with it, you know? But that takes the work, but it's like letting go of those sandbags or sick.
Yeah.
Okay, but it's the only thing that's gotten me through it. To be perfectly honest, I'm kind of hungover. And, you know, you should be careful what you ask for. So I was like, I want to have some more fun. You know, I want to go out. And, boy, did the, you know, let's go here. Let's go there. A friend you haven't seen in 7 years shows up. And then you have this whirlwind night, which was great. But I find that the only way that you can get through the hangover is if you can find a good mood. Because, like, your body is doing all these downer things and repairing itself and, you know. So you can have a really crappy next day after an awesome night, just being, you know, if you're like, well, I guess I'm just hungover and this is going to suck. Or you can find things like laughter. I was just watching Drunk History. Have you seen this?
No, I haven't.
Oh, my God. It is food and medicine for the soul. People, that they get them completely drunk, and they tell this factual story about something in history, and it's a story that they know very well. But, and then they reenact it with the person saying the words, you know, in a drunken fashion, but the actors have to match their timing, like with the person talking, and they play out the whole thing. And it is hilarious. So, like, just laughing at that, like, you know, you already feel a million times better. And, you know, talking to a good friend that, like, you know, gives you some words of encouragement about things that you might be stressed about. that get worse when you feel crappy, you know, and then you can float a little easier through it.
Well, you know, it sounds like the perfect metaphor for the time we're going through, the drunken dark age and then coming into a new, cleaner, technologically enhanced society that has more of a grasp on self than on, you know, itself with connection to the community. And responsibility for the self and a completeness that gives us that place to, you know, heal. Laughter is really is the best medicine. My mom was good at that. She never did hangovers. She always laughed and made you laugh and, of course, served the Bloody Mary for breakfast.
Nice. You know, hair off the dog, that's always, you know, do whatever you got to do to make
you
yourself feel better. That's great.
Works is building the ions back up in your auric body by going to the ocean and swimming or being near salt water. It's a real balm to it to make all the difference in the world. Speaking of which, the blender is getting a vacation for the first time in several years. And tomorrow I'm leaving for Key Largo, so Margaritaville.
Nice. Here we come. Awesome. Well deserved.
Oh, yes. And we all need a vacation right now from, you know, the hostilities, the violence, the nasty stuff that's going on around us. But always remember, too, and I tried to post as much as I could of this stuff in the last few days, is that it is in the darkness, the deep darkness, that we really define the light. And we are the light. And we're being challenged to shine brightly now. And all you really have to do to shine brightly and be a part of the solution is to hold your vibration, your resonance, in peace and in the good things, the good stuff. Really important. Really important right now.
Yeah, and the you know, beating yourself up versus being kind to yourself. You know, like, you can beat yourself up for, like, you know, oh my God, I shouldn't have drank so much, my head hurts, you know, you're retarded, blah, blah, blah. You know, but it's true. Like, I mean, it's a wonderful thing to go out and have fun with your friends and carefree. So what if you, you know, don't get much done the next day? Like, you know, it's not even a blink of the eye in terms of, like, the universe, you know? So, like, easing up on ourselves, it seems to be a theme with, like, some of my clients, some of my friends, you know?
Yeah, and also honoring the celebration.
Right.
That's one of the reasons that in the old mystery schools, in the old cultures, that they had these baccalaureals, they had these wonderful, the Greco-Romans really knew how to throw a party, and so did the Egyptians. Every ancient culture understood that the joyfulness of the community was an energy that was like a little mini emotional atomic bomb, you know, of good stuff. And the whole community celebrated and ravaged and did, I mean by ravaged, I mean they had a good time with one another and, you know, celebrated. And if you think about the incredible good energy that makes, I mean, have you ever been going home at night in New York, you're walking down the street and you pass by a bar rail that's got raucous laughter and people having a good time, and you think something nice about it, don't you?
Yeah, totally. Yeah, it makes you giggle, too.
That's right. It's infectious. A good time is infectious. And you know what? The grape has always, and it could be the barleycorn or it can be whatever. I'm partial lately to a nice, chilled, very expensive, good tequila. I mean,
nice.
My good friend Tracy introduced us to that at the last holiday meal. And I got to tell you, clean goes down. You just don't overdo. I've learned that one. And for the most part, in the last couple of years, I've paid, I've just naturally, I know when I've had, you know, two or three, okay, fine, maybe another glass of wine, but I'm here, I'm good, you know?
Yeah, it gets that tequila gets the job done.
Well, yes, and you have to remember that most of these imbibements, these liquors, these plants, these, they're there to help us in our journey of life. And it's not just for the medicine. It's also good medicine to get your face. Okay, she said that once in a while. Or if you don't partake or you cannot partake, there's many ways to celebrate. You can join in. My sister joins in with us and has a very good time. And make sure, you know, the people who need a cab get one.
Yeah, and again, that's about just on the vibration. I mean, my friend Diane hasn't, she's 15 years sober. But, you know, she'll come around and she's, can fly with the same vibration with everyone that's drinking, and you know, she's right there because she's catching the buzz from everyone's energy.
Well, just so, I mean, my sister will be in October picking up here, but she will be picking up 30 years. Can you imagine? She's a grandma.
Wow. Yeah.
She is a sage. elder in her own community, big time. I'm very proud of her.
You're breaking up a little bit, Gwen. I don't know if other people are hearing it. But
Oh, dear.
It's going to get better.
I don't know what to do about that.
Well, guess what? Now it's fine.
Well, you know, the thing is, too, that's another thing. Lately, it's not just the planets, but the sun and whatever's going on in the atmosphere is breaking communications quite a bit.
I've seen that as well.
I mean, you know, it takes like, you should get your MSM, you know, your text. It should go through right away, a text. Well, I got to tell you, babe, here at ISIS Central, we have our breakdowns in communication. I got a text the other day that was sent like 3 hours before. My iPhone doesn't work in some places in the house and in public, and it's just weird. Although I noticed that the cable television seems to work fine. So whether or not we're doing anything that's creating this static, I don't know, but it's certainly out there, and communications are garbled everywhere. All you have to do is look around at the communications that should be clear that are not so clear. I mean, then again,
yeah.
Did you join in for Chopra's global meditation on Friday?
I did, and I really enjoyed it. I mean, he is just, I mean,
really,
when I studied him in college, he's
yeah.
so peaceful, and he just becomes more and more, like, at peace, and, like, you just love looking at him. Like, his energy is just, like, just happy, you know? And I really liked it.
I think of Chopra's energy as very, yes, he's calm, but he's also very resourceful. And I think that his debate techniques, because he's always very open to sitting down and talking to especially Dawkins and a few others. Those are interesting conversations that they have. I saw him in Boston at a book signing, and where he had just come off of a, you know, terrible commute from the West Coast, and he was disheveled and out of sorts and everything, but he still was trying very hard to be Deepak Chopra, you know? And I think I enjoyed him more that way because the human Deepak was standing before everybody, and he was unassuming about it. And I thought, you know, the guy is for real, and that's a good thing, you know?
Absolutely. I was not, I mean, I have to say, I was not crazy about the lady mediator at all. I told you, I was like, she's really making me work for my piece. I don't know, she just totally got on my nerves.
But, and that's
but, like,
the
other, yeah.
That's the other thing right now, you know, meditation has many forms. I have a friend across the street now, one of the guys, the one who's doing all the wonderful soap designs for me, Jeff. And to find his own therapy, he's begun to paint murals on the wall again. And people, you know, that's a form of meditation. It would be just as much a form of meditation if you, I don't know, you went out to your workshop. I used to go into the garage and carve rooms with my Dremel into ebony chips, you know. You could build a better machine. I'm thinking of that because of our guest who's always there. Not always, but usually in the chat. Hi, David.
Hi, David.
We just barely got on today. We're pre-vacation show, so we're open to topics here.
Just real quick, you were talking about meditation, and after I listened to it, and his guided meditation, I thought was really interesting because he was asking, what is peace? Like, what does peace mean to you? How does peace feel? And, you know, talked you through different ways of just tuning in with what is peace? What's the vibration of peace? What are the words of peace? And so, you know, the lady kind of annoyed me, but obviously she wasn't there for that part, you know. And then I went to the pool, and I figured I would continue my meditation outside about peace. And there was this lady that, like, never stopped yapping, and she was there today, that day. And she's yapping about nothing, right? And I mean, whatever, it's a pool, but usually it's pretty quiet, like it's peaceful. I even have my headphones on, I could still hear her. And I was like, you know, Nicole, like this is part of peace. Like, you know, they say in meditation, any noises that are distracting or have nothing to do with your meditation also need to be incorporated and, you know, dealt with or not dealt with. So it really made me think about, like, even just little things, you know, it's not like you're going to get into an altercation with someone, but, like, you know, people get on our nerves sometimes. And how do we find, do we allow that to disrupt our peace? You know, I mean, I'm an Aries, I can't help it. I was like, God damn it, shut your mouth already. You know, that's what's happening in my head. But I was like, okay, well, this is a lesson in peace, you know. If I can get along with the lady at the pool, even just in my head, like, I think that's helpful for, like, you know, the places that are physically at war.
Well, that's got a lot of truth to it, I think. I've seen a lot of people in combative mode lately. It's just a reflection of what's going on, but I mean, way away from social networks, out there on the street, there's been some combative modes around it, and it's like, how do you be the peacemaker? First of all, don't try to be. just smile, throw some white light, whatever, you know, I mean, that's a difficult one. I want to hit on something here for our listeners and anyone in archives who's listening, who's dealing with, and I know in the Northeast they are, Lyme disease. It's terrible. It's afflicting many hundreds of thousands of people in this country alone. And it's not really brought up very often, especially by the medical community. But we're going to have a guest in the next month on who's going to talk about new protocols that they're working with right there close to you in the Connecticut area with essential oil ingestion, working with plant essence. The essential oil is the quintessence of the plant, and they're having some wonderful results with it. So I want to mention that. Her name is Nicole Wasserman, and I've got the invite. I know she'll come on with us. It's amazing because too many people are suffering from Lyme disease right now. Folks don't understand. It's not just your pets. It's people that get bit by ticks. And this is the season for it. And it often takes years before doctors actually diagnose it. And people walk around thinking they've got everything from fibromyalgia to cancer because of this disease. And it's nasty. It's a very nasty critter. So in the next couple of weeks, I'll post it, but we're going to have her on. And we're going to talk about how essential oils can heal the body. It's something in this country that is not recognized by the medical community. For instance, I'm accredited and my training took place in the UK. And when I'm in Europe, I can write prescriptions for people. I wouldn't do it right now because it's been years since I've been actually trained up on everything new. However, after a year of looking at, you know, studying back up, I wouldn't have a problem with that. And when I was over there making trips over for seminars and such, I did write prescriptions for people that were common use. Working with essential oils right now is something that's going to, especially with children, is something that's going to work a whole lot quicker than antibiotics, which are now failing so miserably. Shall we talk Ebola? You know, I mean, my gosh, why don't they just try working with plants? My gosh.
Yeah. I mean, I just keep thinking of the Amazon and, you know, so all these things that the earth gives us to heal ourselves. But it's great. I mean, it's about time, and it's wonderful that people are doing this and recognizing it. And who cares, like, whether the establishment, you know, says it's good or not. We know what they are, so.
Well, Nicole is a phlebotomist. And she does her trade, what she does, her craft is, she works with a technologically masterful, you know, with the computer microscope that looks at the blood, first of all, visually, and then diagnoses the blood. And she enables her to make good suggestions nutritionally and supplement-wise to take care of, you know, our blood is filled with all kinds of impurities and little critters running around waiting to go baboom, you know. And if you have the, first of all, she's married technology to a mastery of now what she's doing is studying the old arts of healing. You know, I suggested the first book that she should have that she hasn't, you know, put on her shelf is good old-fashioned Culpeppers. It tells you what a plant, you know, it's important, and folks don't realize that healing the body with natural remedies, yes, it does work. I'll make reference here to Jethro Klotz, you know, or any one or number of others throughout, especially the Midwest, out into the Northwest, especially through, you know, the pioneering across this country. How many remedies were formulated in places like, oh, Oklahoma, you know, Wyoming, up into Washington State, people went in California, where people went where there was no doctors, but they learned from the indigenous communities that were there, and they began to work with these remedies. You know how we got pills, for crying out loud? The idea of them?
Huh.
Not the Shakers and the Mennonites and all of those secluded or isolated communities have been making pills. They packed, drilled holes into wood and pounded in the herbs, the ground up plants, and made little pills from them.
Wow. I didn't know that. That's cool.
Yeah, that's where pills came from. I mean, it was the snake oil salesmen, you know, out there in their covered wagons that did put, you know, not all of them were, you know, shysters and con artists. Many of them were taking remedial cures around that had nothing to do with pouring alcohol all over them or morphine into them or laudanum. You know, they were actually herbal tinctures and such. I've seen a museum piece, gosh, it was in Missouri, I believe, it was a cart, actually a wagon, and it was like walking into a little apothecary, you know, and all of the tinctures and those old beautiful bottles that they had, you know, me and bottles, all these old beautiful bottles that were marked with labels talking about what plants were the tinctures in them. And the Catholic Church has recorded handwritten diaries by monks and nuns formulated as they had to during plague and sickness. And, you know, it's being hoarded in a Vatican library instead of being, you know, used. Now, these remedies, these natural remedies, I think, are probably offering us some of the best stuff we can put our hands on these days. So when I have someone come to me and say, listen, I want to know what you can do to help me find the most quality therapeutic essential oils and such, and explains to me that she's been working with these essential oil protocols and they're working for people. Have you ever seen anyone who's in the throes of Lyme disease? It's like MS. They're all gnarled and tightened up. It's heartbreaking to see. But when you begin working, she's worked with a couple of people so far, and there's the person that she's learning this from, and she'll have to say who because I can't remember. Is basically doing, been doing these protocols with essential oils. You know, after just one day of ingestion, which is you basically make your drops of oils in the formula of a tablespoon and then mix it with warm water and you drink it. And she said that it's amazing to watch. They're photographing it. They're documenting everything that's going on. And that she's keeping really good records on the protocols that they're using, that they're developing. And you can see pictures of, you know, it's just heartbreaking to see the gnarled up hands and the body that's on atrophy. And after 24 hours of just the first two ingestions of essential oils, the person is relaxing and laying in bed, and after a week is getting out of bed. That's stunning. And the medical community catches her at it. I'm sure they're going to come down on them with the force of, you know, of the pharmaceutical companies that don't want this going on, you know. They'd rather
eat it. Oh, well.
You know, gives you candor. I mean, it's just, oh, my God. You listen to the commercials for pharmaceuticals these days, and you got to wonder. Oh, my God. It's like painkillers. You know, I remember getting painkillers years ago, Percodan, because I fell off a motorcycle and I had road burn on my leg. You know, it was pretty awful. I should have been scarred terribly, but I kept sterile Vaseline on it for like 3 weeks. And I didn't get out of bed. Boy, when I went to walk again, oh my gosh. But the thing was, it was extraordinarily painful. And my doctor, who had been my doctor since I was a kid, gave me a prescription for Percodan. Those were the heavy duty mothers, you know, and they were mostly plant material. They were the real thing. It got me through. It got me through. But then a couple of years ago, when I was living up in New York or Highlands, remember, my first time the sciatica went, my right leg was my gosh, I can't tell you. The pain was incredible. And I went to the emergency room and they gave me OxyContin. And I went home and I took a pill and I felt horrible. I mean, it was worse than the pain. I had a reaction to it or what have you. It was just terrible. And so I ended up taking homeopathy, for loosening the muscles, you know, relaxing your muscles. I took it all day long. It told me to on the directions, you know, take as many as you need every hour. And I did, and it finally relaxed me. Mind over matter, maybe. Maybe. But I'll tell you what, OxyContin, Roxycontin, all of these hybrids that they've made pharmaceutically just in painkillers, they're horrible. They're horrible to the human body, you know? I'd rather go smoke opium.
Yeah. Yeah, I always say that. Like, the vibration of, like, most, like, recreational drugs are, like, you know what they are. You know what weed is. You know what alcohol is. Like, vibrationally, you can see what they are. But the prescription pills, like, I find them very unpredictable. Like, depends on how, you know, your body reacts. It's like a chemical storm, your chemicals with this chemicals that are, you know, and also the vibration that they're made in. Like OxyContins, they're so hardcore. And they're just like a big bomb of just like puts nothingness, so you feel nothing. But like, are you really healing? Like, it takes you and your consciousness out of the healing process and just like dampens everything. And then,
yes.
So where's the connection with the healing? And now you need this thing, and then they can do all kinds of things to your personality, to your sleeping, to your everything. I mean, good Lord, they just, what a mess they feel like to me.
I mean,
some people it's really good. I mean, like my, you know, some of my friends that were bipolar, like when they found the right, which takes a long time, when they found the right doses of these things, like, can be very helpful. So, but they were also working on themselves and being able to assimilate what's happening in their mind in a positive manner, you know, using both sides. It's a gift, not a curse. You just have to learn how to work with it.
The drugs are just so overwhelming in our society anymore that I think it was actually David who mentioned that, you know, he works with water reclamation and recycling and such. And I think it was him who said that there's just so much medication in the groundwater anymore and the reclamation water that any metropolitan area has, you know, just a signature Prozac in it. And it's like, oh great. Not even boiling, you know, it's like, And the other side of that is, you know, all the plastics involved, and we know now that plastic leaches into our water when we buy it in plastic bottles, and you know, it's enough to want to go out to the country and dig up a spring. If you're going to the country, then boom, you know,
yeah.
You got to watch out.
Abraham. Yeah. Abraham says that. He's like, you know, it's amazing that any of you can find anything to eat or anything to drink with all the terrible things you hear about all the things that are happening to all the things you need, you know. I mean, but it's also the idea of how you think about it, you know. I mean, it can be just like any pill or anything that you take, any vitamin, what you believe in it is going to make a big difference. Even working with your oils and everything, you know, you have
yeah,
to give
true.
The vibration.
Yes, you have to work with the medicine. I gotta say that when I was in the hospital recently, about a month ago, I had an abscess that made my face turn to cellulitis, and it got dangerous because that can get to your heart and stop your clock. And I was in emergency for a long time sitting on a gurney. It was pretty awful, but they finally came to give me something for the pain. And they IV'd me right away, and they gave me the Demerol, which was like, you got to be kidding me. It didn't even faze me. So they came at me with a strong dose of morphine. Well, that took me, if my sister hadn't been there, it's like she talked me down. She kept me in this consciousness, because if she had not been in there, I would have been between worlds. I mean, seriously, I would have been talking with my mother. You understand?
Yeah.
I mean, it's a mini death. That is how abusive the painkillers and the opiates can be. I mean, you really, whereas if I'd taken a couple of hits off an opium pipe, pain would have been, and I would have had a nice little trip to talk about.
Right.
Oh, my
exactly.
God. But the bigger point here is about working with the plants. They're here to help our journey. I mean, it's symbiotic, too. What do you think is happening to the plants that are being watered with Prozac water? I mean, think about these things.
Right, right. I mean, I think we're going to just have to assimilate to a lot of these things. I mean, right, adaptation, that's what we're good at, right?
The human body has... David said it right. He's very well read. La Petite Mort, The Little Death. Of course, they say that. No, never mind. I'm not going down that road. The Little Death can be experienced in many ways, and it's a form of initiation, too. I have no doubt that while I was in the hospital, I did some walking between worlds, and I'm sure it'll come to me whatever I learned in that trip. So far, it's still a recovery project here.
Yeah.
And I'm working with my tinctures and my flower essences and my oils, and I medicate myself with the essential oils when I feel comfortable to do so. And you can believe that when I feel any kind of infection coming up, I will be taking essential oils.
Nice.
You know?
Great.
Yeah, well, the other good part about it would be, too, is to bear down, go over to the dentist, and let them take the pliers out. You know what I'm saying?
I mean,
nobody should walk. Nobody should walk around with illness like that. It's just, you know, we have the ability, we have wonderful dentists, we do have really good doctors and medicines. It's just finding them. Because oftentimes they're not in the emergency room, you know. They simply aren't there. And I know my sister had, my nephew had asthma when he was a boy. I think that was from the insect spraying in the neighborhoods down here from mosquitoes myself. I don't think it was his grandfather's cigar smoke, or his mom never smoked in the house, so. I don't know. I think it was from that, though, because he played a lot, and where the kids were playing, they used to. Have you ever seen those spray trucks that go around fogging the neighborhoods?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, hey, dump some DDT on the kids.
Yeah, amazing.
You know, we got to find better ways. People are so afraid of mosquitoes down here, you wouldn't believe it.
Wow.
Well, the West Nile virus and all of these other things. And then, of course, there's the Ebola now.
But at the same time, you know, I have to say, like, the other side of it. Because, all right, you got all these things, blah, 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 they're all terrible. I mean, but why focus in on those things? You know, like, they're happening, but do you have to attract that into your life? Like, no. And putting your attention, like, somewhere else. And, like, this fear, that fear, you know, that puts you on a whole different vibration with it. Like, if you're scared and you think that every mosquito is carrying some sort of deadly disease, the chances of it happening are higher, you know?
I agree. I sense so at a neighborhood meeting thing recently, you know? It was directly connected. They stopped using those trucks for a long while because it was directly connected down here in Florida to children's rate of asthma. And they found new chemicals to work with, and after a few years, and began doing it again, and children's asthma rates started going back up. So that tells you something. But children, I know my nephew also took a lot of antibiotics when he was a kid because pediatricians tend to dole them out to parents. You know, little children have earaches. Some of them have horrible time with infections in their ears and stuff. And so they get heavy-duty antibiotics thrown at them. Well, now we're growing immune to these chemicals.
Sure. The body, it's such an adaptable organism, the body is. I mean, anything you do, if it's done at once, it knows it, and if it's done it a lot of time, it knows it well, you know. So, adapt it, and then
And what you're saying is quite true. What doesn't kill us makes us stronger, and we're meant to develop our immune system that way. I agree. There is the other side of it, though. Wonderful vaccines have been developed to stay children's diseases, and the people who think that, you know, chicken pox and muscular dystrophy and other vaccines out there, there's all kinds of them right now, measles vaccine, tuberculosis, patch tests, all of this, they are not allowing their children to partake of it, and therefore the rate of disease in children is going up. And that's wrong, too.
Wow. Right. Good point.
So, like I said a thousand times before, you got to filter everything for your intelligence and your heart.
That's right. That's right.
So, using common sense, or as my mom used to say, use your horse sense, you know? What does that mean? Horses can be really dopey.
Horse sense?
Horse sense.
I think that's your intuition, and it's like how you feel about it, like the sense before the thing. What does it feel like? I think we've forgotten that that's one of our greatest indicators. Of course, you have to be able to interpret what it's saying. Just because it's fear doesn't mean you shouldn't do it. You know, you may be thinking something else about it, but still, just the general feeling that and common sense put together, and a little experimentation. I mean, you have to try things and see what works for your body or not. My father, the microbiologist, used to do all kinds of experiments on himself. If I take these vitamins together, what happens? If I take just this one, what happens? I got a rash. He used to take all kinds of, and then came up with theories. And then you would try with other people. If you have this, does this work? Does that work? All holistic, apple cider vinegar, these things, to try it out instead of just going to the doctor and saying, okay, give me this prescription that will just annihilate whatever's happening with me, and that's the end of the story. It's kind of a little lazy. I hate to say it, you know, but if that's the idea, if it could be, you know, put a little effort into doing it, and then your body will thank you.
I think you have a really good point there. I really do. The other point about not vaccinating your child is this, too. If you want to take the child traveling or out of this country, you're shut out of luck, because without the vaccines, children are not allowed to leave this country and go over and infect another country type of thing. It's like bringing fruit back from South America.
Yeah, and how you can fight diseases in a place that you've never been. I mean, I got pneumonia when I was 7 because I grew up in the city, went to the farm, was kissing all the sheep and the goats, and got like microplasma because I had no immunity towards farm bacteria. So, you know, shocked my whole system. So
yes,
then you are.
Didn't your sister develop and didn't your system develop an immunity after you went through the pneumonia?
An immunity to
the farm, you know.
Definitely. Yeah, and also found out the penicillin doesn't work for me, and then we went with erythromycin. I mean, that was a big discovery. They just kept giving penicillin, but I didn't have a reaction. So they just thought, well, maybe she can't fight this. And then finally they gave me erythromycin and I was better in days.
You know, I when I was 6 years old, I got some kind of an infection, and the doctor was, this is embarrassing, the doctor made the house call and came over and gave me a shot of penicillin, and I reacted to it. I'm very allergic. And my fever shot up. I boiled. They put me in the ice bath and all of that. I went through it for like, mom told me I was like 4 hours. That, you know, the doctor said don't bother calling an ambulance because she won't make it to the hospital. We got to get her under an ice type of thing. And the funny thing is, though, when I was 27, I somebody prescribed penicillin, a penicillin derivative. I didn't know it. I took it, but it did not affect me. And it did not do any good, though, like you, you know. Went back, and it was a myosin they prescribed for me, but I was really shocked because, you know, I'm supposed to be allergic to penicillin, but perhaps my body developed an immunity because of the shock to the system.
Right, right. It knows it now. Yeah.
Pro,
working with the body. Yeah, go ahead.
David's put something very important in here. It said an analogy of Ebola and the fears can be thought of like a plane crash versus a car crash. You're much more likely to die in a car crash, and airplane crashes are rare. But if the airplane crashes, your chances are very slim with really messy results. People should be much more fearful of antibiotic-resistant bacteria like MERS and such. But Ebola is it's pretty bad. It is very bad. It's never fun plague, I gotta say, but... And crying blood is not, dear. Most of the people recover. It is said that it's youngsters, really small kids, and the elders who are not surviving Ebola.
Yeah, the thinning of the herd, right?
Jeez, taking the best of both sides, the little ones and the wisdom. There's a lesson in there. There's a lesson in there.
Yeah. And nature's way. I don't know. Will we ever have a disease-free world? Would that even work? And what does that mean? We're all made of bacteria. We all have all kinds of creepy crawlies going on everywhere. It's part of how the world works. So I don't know.
What extinguishes life prolongs life.
Right.
That's quite true. Go ahead.
And metaphysically, if you believe that we choose our journey here, if you're leaving, it's your time, you were like, that's enough, I'm going to go this way at 6 years old or this way at 80 years old, and that's what happens. And you're like, well, that was fun.
I'm going to input from David again. He says the only reason Ebola is spreading is that the African nations do not have the healthcare infrastructure. Ebola is not easy to get, but if you have nothing like gloves or masks or anything, it spreads. And he's making very clear sense. People read Ebola and they freak out. And, let's face it, these days people look for things to freak out over,
Right.
That's why it's so important to keep it grounded, keep it real, and
keep it moving.
Keep it moving, honey. So what's up for Spirit Therapy on Monday?
Good question. I'm thinking to talk about sleep. It's been a reoccurring theme with lots of people, just boom, boom, boom. So people seem to be looking at what a good sleep pattern is for them and how to get a good sleep. So I'm going to do a fair amount of research and see what I come up with. I have my own theories, but I think we'll talk about sleep.
Okay. That sounds like a good show. I, of course,
Thanks.
Will be down in the Conch Republic and without communication. So I wish you bon chance.
Thank you very much.
I hope it's a great show. I know it will be. I would like to put it out. Of course, most folks that listen to Consciousness Shift are not exactly usually there on Sunday, but tomorrow's Sunday show is canceled, and we'll be back week next with Jack Jodell and Wayne Johnson, and I believe we have a guest scheduled to talk on Virginia's we're talking to one of the ladies from the Tennessee Judy, Tennessee, running against the, notes. Victoria, she just ran in Tennessee for a city council position against Victoria Johnson, the Looney Tune from Saturday Night Live, who's a Tea Party nut.
Yeah.
Holy McGillicuddy.
It's a mad, mad world out there.
It certainly is. The most important message this week is keeping the Global Peace Initiative going. If just for 1 minute every day you can take a moment to step aside and go within and to visualize and resonate with peace across the planet, it works. You know, it contributes.
Even if you can get some peace in yourself, that is very helpful as well.
Yeah. I want to thank our silent guest, Krell, for joining us today. And thank you, Nicole, for being on the other end. Sorry about the technological wire thing.
Yeah, it's all right. You know, when you're hungover, a lot of things don't really matter. If you want to make it easier for yourself, you're like, yeah, well, you know, what are you going to do?
Hey, we're here.
So that's my motto.
We're
my
here.
Motto for the day.
Okay, well, I guess that's it. Please don't forget to tune in to Monday evening at 7 p.m. with Nicole Tomasini, Spirit Therapy. Do you have any other announcements?
No, that's it. I was actually thinking I have a friend that is works at a sleep center, so I'm thinking maybe I'll ask him to come on. That should be very interesting. I hope he comes.
There you go. Oh, sleep is always a wonderful topic. Always a wonderful topic. Okay.
Cool. All right. Thanks, Gwen. And nice to hear you, Krell, through the chat.
And that would be our show for today. And thank you for listening. We'll be back next Saturday at 3 p.m. This has been Nicole Tomasini and Gwen Berry with A Consciousness Shift.